Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Redeemed Through His Blood. It's Scott. Got Deb here. Hey, Deb.
Hi. Hello, friends.
How are you, sweetie?
I'm good.
Good. Good, good, good. Deb and I just got back from a really fun weekend. It's kind of an annual, I almost want to call it a pilgrimage.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, almost a pilgrimage. We go down to the National Finals Rodeo every year.
Yep. Buy our tickets in March, February, March, go April.
Go
in December.
Go with Craig and Carmen, our cousins, my cousin closest to me in age. So my oldest and longest time earthly mortal friend.
I love that.
It's kind of cool. You know, we've been.
They're so fun.
Craig and I have been building memories since we were in diapers. And I think
will until you're in diapers.
In diapers again. I knew you were going to go there. I knew you were going to go
there. You started there. I
really teed that up well for you, didn't I?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot of fun at the rodeo. We always do. And this year was no exception. Before I get into all that, though, because it will lead into our topic today. Last week, we talked about the gift of God's Son. I just love, Deb, the idea that you had around that and how important that was. We've got a lot of response about it, actually, a couple of emails and so forth, and appreciate that. You can email us, just to remind you, at heredeemsus@gmail.com. Responded to a couple recently. Have a young lady who might be going through some stuff, Deb, that needed to understand and have some maybe the podcast around forgiveness. You know, that,
I can relate.
Yeah, I know.
On all levels.
She wanted to share your experience with somebody, and yeah, so I thought that was cool. You needed to know. You needed to know about that. But anyway, back to that topic of last week, Deb. You had something that you said you kind of felt like you wanted to.
Well, it's interesting because I'm kind of a delayed. You know, when somebody says something to you and you have you think later about the response. Oh, I should have said this. I had that moment this last week with our topic, and it hit me because we were down at the NFR. National Finals Rodeo.
Yeah.
And I see John 3:16 everywhere. And I'm like, that is exactly what we were talking about in our podcast. Not that this is a new scripture to me, but it's like, for God so loved the world. He loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What do we want more than anything? Everlasting life. I'm like, why didn't I say John 3:16? So there's my late response to last episodes. It just kind of high-fived me in the forehead and said, duh, Deb, you've seen this your entire life around Christmas time. For God so loved the world. Yeah, and he does love us. He did give us his son.
If you haven't listened to last week's episode, I encourage you to go back and do it. It's just a gem, absolute gem, because of some of the stuff that Deb brought up in that. And it's a great one. Anyway, thanks for doing that.
Well, just remember John 3:16 when you're.
You know, one of the things that I love about rodeo and kind of the Western lifestyle is when we go there. You know, I don't know if you'll remember. I'm sure you do. We were there this is a 10-night event. It's literally the Super Bowl of rodeo, right? And each night they begin the rodeo with a prayer.
And the Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah, they do.
The prayer first, though.
Yeah, they do.
Before anything.
They say a prayer.
And I think it was the ninth night. Whoever said the prayer really spent a lot of time talking about how grateful we are this time of year for the gift of God's Son to provide forgiveness. And I think it was even said something along the lines to answer the effects of the fallen world, because we are in a fallen world. I don't know. I think the more we live, the more obvious it becomes that we're definitely in a fallen world. But that's one of those things that it's a little positive thing in an area where there's just total chaos.
In the middle of Vegas, there's a pause there for a prayer.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you know, it was noisy. They have what's called Cowboy Christmas. And it's everywhere on these big venues and big events, and there's tons of swag. I mean, I don't even know what to call it. There's vendors from big trucks and trailers and hauling. What do they even call those?
I don't know.
And campers, trailers, yeah. trailers that have horses, and then you can live in them, down to little trinkets and ornaments and jewelry and clothing and boots and hats and like literally cowboy Christmas. And I remember a couple years ago we went down there and I was like, I need nothing, absolutely nothing. And I ended up buying
a whole bunch of stuff,
a set of patio furniture has a 35-year warranty.
Good thing you brought up that 35-year warranty. That does dissuade, does dissipate some of the pain for me for sure. But
it's so funny. Anyway, it's just noisy and very, it's cowboy Christmas.
Yeah, but it's Christmas and it's crazy and there's chaos. And we did take time to go to sacrament meeting on Sunday, which was just a wonderful experience.
In the temple?
Yeah, we went to the temple on Saturday morning, and then, so...
We like diversity.
Things have changed. You know, when we first started going to this many, many, over a decade and a half ago, we were younger and had a lot more energy and wanted to see and do a lot more, and now today we just slow down and go to the temple, and as soon as the rodeo's over, we go back to the hotel. But you know what, Deb, amid all that chaos, and it's pretty apropos for this time of year to just, everywhere you go, you have an opportunity to submerge yourself in chaos. We're in the middle of Christmas. I mean, the middle of Christmas season here. It's almost here, about a week. I don't think this will be our last episode before Christmas. We may be able to squeeze one in next week, but let's be honest, it'll be the days before Christmas, and I'm not sure that we're all going to get the time to listen anyway, because it just gets so crazy this time
of year. We're busy. Yeah. There's a hustle and bustle.
Yeah.
There's concerts and performances and plays and, all kinds of Christmas things that we can go attend and, for
our
grandkids
calendar.
Or our kids or even if you want to just go enjoy a concert of some sort, Christmas concerts, and play. Anyway, there's just so much going on. It's a glorious mess.
but with that glorious mess, there's, for example, there's going to be some things for grandkids this Christmas season that, unfortunately, because of a work schedule, I got to be in Miami in a couple of days for work to speak and do a few things.
We missed the family Christmas party.
We
last
missed
week
the family
we
Christmas party.
Vegas.
We're going to have to miss a couple of those grandkids things.
You will.
I'll be
there.
But the point is. The point is this is how Christmas can be. We get so many expectations and we get so wrapped up in even the good parts of Christmas. We get so wrapped up in, okay, we got to be here. We got to get our ministering families, all of these little things. We got to make sure that we get our Christmas cards out. We've got to make sure that we respond to, we got to make sure we write to the missionaries. We got to make sure that we're donating here. We got to make sure that we're spending time here. And just even saying this is exhausting me.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so with all of that.
It's the expectations we put on Christmas, sure.
Well, and I think it's the expectations that are put on Christmas by our society, by each one of us individually, or whatever. But you know what happens when we do that? The seed of resentment is expectation.
100%.
So when I get all of these expectations going around a holiday season or around anything else for that matter, I'm really setting myself up for an opportunity for whatever that is, in this case Christmas, or the Christmas season, or the Christmas holiday, to be affected, maybe even ruined, if something doesn't happen the way that I see that it should happen.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, for sure.
And I've been thinking a lot about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of expectations we put on ourselves that others also could be putting on us that we may not know about. Well, and as a mom and a grandma, I always like to have things in perfect order. Now, saying that, I do serve our Christmas dinner and our Thanksgiving dinner on paper plates and plastic forks and spoons because we have so many kids. However, I have this dream somewhere in my world that, how awesome would it be to sit up to a table like dress, with china and a candle burning, and it's just not my world. It's as much as I would love that, it is just not my world. I don't know why, but it's how life really is. It's like I have 7 children with spouses and 16 grandkids, and our gatherings get messy and noisy and chaotic.
I think that's our message this week. You know, Christmas doesn't have to exist in ideal circumstances in order for Christmas to have the meaning that Christmas should have, right?
Yeah, it's taken me a long time to realize that.
I'm still trying to practice it, too. I'm trying to get better at it.
For sure.
Because I still have those. You know, I still have those. But here's the thing, Deb. Let's think about it. You know, why should Christmas be perfect? You know?
Yeah, because he was perfect. We want a perfect Christmas. Well, celebrate perfection.
I guess so. But the first Christmas, what if the expectation around the first Christmas was perfection?
You know what? I've thought about that, and his nursery was not ready.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Let's just go to that detail in and of itself. It's like, you know, I look at these new moms and I was a new mom once, and I had to get the nursery all ready for the baby. It's like, where was Jesus's nursery? You know, and I realized that was not the day and time, but it really does makes you push pause. And reflect on the importance, because his birth was not ideal.
No, and it doesn't matter the day and time. You know, whatever the day and time is, the circumstances that Jesus was born into was subpar to any conditions.
Lowly.
Of that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
It makes you almost feel better. I mean, it makes me like... it kind of gives me the reason to exhale, because it's like, where are we really comparing ourselves?
I know.
To Jesus or to others?
Well.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think the answer to that's clear.
100%, but right? It really makes me push pause.
Yeah.
Put the mirror in front of my face.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I want to just kind of take this and break it down a little bit. You know, let's just consider, for example, the conditions around the first Christmas. Now, we're not going to get in. I think we mentioned this last week. We're not going to do a full traditional Christmas layout here. We didn't last week. We're not going to this week, and we won't next week either. We have done those in years past, and encourage you that if you want to go back and really get into some interesting detail that David had to share with us, just an awesome, awesome experience to go back and do that. But we're gonna talk about more along the lines of how do things compare today to us and for us to what it was like maybe for them? So let's think about that. You know, what were the conditions around that first Christmas? Number one, Mary and Joseph were under Roman decree. They're being forced politically to move. And you know, we know that was not probably 100% pleasant. There's no room for them anywhere.
Yeah. Not staying in any
they couldn't
hotel
stay in the
or
inn.
Anything.
No, yeah, they the couldn't inn. Stay in the inn part of the con. They had to go into the manger, and Jesus was born in a very lowly of circumstances, as you just mentioned, right, among the animals. God didn't wait for peace on earth before he sent.
Or until the circumstance was perfect.
Exactly.
Even. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. He didn't wait for that ideal circumstance to say, okay, now the King of Kings can be born.
Right.
That's an interesting way to look at that.
Right.
That God that loves us so much. Wow.
Yeah. He sent us the answer in the middle and in the midst of humility and lowly of heart and all of that, right? Yeah. So that helps me to understand that joy didn't result from the calm. It created the calm.
Well, you think about Silent Night, when it says all is calm, all is bright. That star shone bright. And I think it caused a lot of people that were living in that chaos. They were not the only ones having to go under Roman decree. They were not the only ones that didn't have room in the inn. You know what I mean? There was a lot of chaos going on. But when you think about the calmness that came when that star shone so bright, it got the shepherd's attention. It got the wise men's attention. And it was all as calm, all as bright. What part do you think was calm and bright? Because there was chaos still going on. Just like, I'm going to go back to the NFR because I have association there. But, you know, we went down the strip and watch, you know, the chaos and crazy and the noise and the whatever it is. And you can find what you're looking for. And then you can go enter into a chapel or enter into a temple and find peace where all is calm and all is bright.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and when Christ was born, yeah, he was born in the chaos, but he brought that joy and calm with him, like all babies do.
And I think the idea here is then, is that Christmas is, we shouldn't treat it with the fragility that we sometimes treat it. It's not fragile.
Yeah.
You know, it's never going to be perfect, probably. I mean, for some, maybe. You know, I doubt it, but for some, maybe.
It depends on the expectation of what perfection is, what perfect means. Yeah.
You're 100% right about that. To be able to manage those expectations, Deb, to the extent that we're able to manage those expectations through the lens of the Spirit, that allows us to have a more peaceful time during this season.
Well, I think too it's important to be able to go into the season and into the parties and to whatever it is that you plan or that you plan to attend or whatever that is of whatever.
Yeah.
It's that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this could be calm and this could be chaos.
Right.
And whatever it is, it's supposed to be. And just honor where it is. You know what I mean? It's like it's like our family gathering. It's when they start coming, it's peaceful and calm and welcoming. And then when we start getting the food out and things get spilled and kids tip over and cry or whatever happens, I mean, it gets noisy and chaotic, but it's perfect. The chaos is perfect. The noise is perfect. The calm is perfect. The mess is perfect. And if we look at it with the expectation that it's all meant to be, it's all supposed to happen the way it's supposed to happen. Uncle so-and-so gets all upset because somebody said the wrong thing or whatever. I mean, there could be so many things played out in whatever it looks like. But just knowing, literally, when I go into a party or whenever I host a party, when I have the attitude of whatever.
For me, it's important that I remember what we said earlier, so I'm going to restate it, which is this. Christmas doesn't depend on ideal conditions, right?
Correct.
And Christ came in chaos, and joy came with him. And joy came with him in chaos.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how do we have joy in chaos? We look for Christ. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just so I think there's a couple of things that we really kind of need to make sure that we're identifying here, what that even means. So number one, we have to disassociate joy with happiness. Joy does not necessarily mean happiness, right?
True.
So what do I mean by that? I mean, how would you explain the difference between or how joy and happiness, how is there a differentiation there?
I think it's happiness as the world sees it, or happiness or joy as or happiness as the Lord sees it, because I think you can have joy and happiness. However, I think we have this again expectation of what really brings us happiness in this life. Is it the perfect gift? Is it the perfect situation? Is it the perfect whatever? I think it's where our focus is.
Yeah.
And when we focus on the worldly piece of what really makes us happy, there was a quote when President Nelson says, happiness is not about what's happening in your life. It's about the focus in your life. So who are we focusing on?
Right.
And you know, not what's happening, but who are we focusing on?
And I think that's where joy comes from, right? Joy.
For sure.
If you really think about, for me, joy, presence plus meaning, you know? So in other words, but to have people present,
yes,
you know, there, people of meaning in my life, that's where joy comes from. And it's not necessarily how they show up. It's just that they show up or that they desire to show up. And sometimes that just can't happen. But you know who showed up? And when we think about this, one of the names for Jesus is Emmanuel.
Yeah.
Which means
God with us.
Yeah.
Not God after us, but God with us.
Yeah.
He is among us now. You know, one thing about Emmanuel is God with us. He also delivers. Another word for him is deliverer.
Yeah.
And he delivers peace and joy.
Yeah, you know what? And that's a great point. Remember a few weeks ago when we were talking about, when we were talking to Nick and Crystal. And Nick said that Jesus likes to get his hands dirty, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We do find joy in the did you say brokenness?
Brokenness, yeah. Or messiness, or dirt,
any of
or
that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything that doesn't feel right or right. Misaligned, right? We can find joy there if we find him there. And so, Deb, are you suggesting then that in the middle of chaos and in the middle of non-met or unmet expectations and disappointment and all of that that comes in potentially in a Christmas season, that we still may find joy to the world?
You know what? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the joy is where our focus is. I think that's truly the bottom line here is, what are we really focused on? And to gather as a family, or to even be invited to, you know, a stranger, be invited by a stranger, or invite a stranger in,
I mean,
that's, you know, everybody loves that connection and being present and being noticed and being, you know, fed, whether it's a physical food or whether it's, you know, one of the traditions I love that we do is our little nativity. We have all the grandkids dress up, and some of them know nothing about the nativity, and they want to be a superhero in there. Some of them want to be an animal that did never, a zebra, a giraffe, or whatever.
A unicorn.
So it's perfect. It's like, yes, you can be a zebra in our nativity. Yes, you can be, Superman or whatever. But I think it's important that we remain focused on the deliverer, the Emmanuel. You know, one of the gifts that we got from our ward one year was a whole bunch of little tiny cards that sit on a pedestal that are all the names of Jesus. And I also have a lot of ornaments that have those, the comforter, the deliverer, the redeemer. There's so many names for him. And when I push, literally again, when I push pause and just focus on how he shows up in my life, I stand all amazed and I'm overwhelmed because, you know, we had I know I talked about this before. We have our little kickoff to Christmas, our Thanksgiving dinner the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and give our kids, their grandkids, their Christmas pajamas. And I watched such a little miracle there with, you know, our son who was triggered because he was away from his son. And I'm thinking, oh, I've done the wrong thing. Oh, shoot, I shouldn't have given the kids their pajamas because now Bowen misses Eli so much. And then I watched, I just sat back and I kind of pulled the whatever. And we were trying to get pictures, and Lexi and Bowen were both missing. And I found them at the side of the house, both in tears, because Lexi was mourning with those that mourn. And then when I was talking to him, I said, is it okay if I go in the house? Because you have a family here that cares. And a Tim, who has a daughter in California, said, I know exactly what he's going through. And I watched that little miracle walk out the side of my house, put his arms around his brother and say, I know what you're going through. You know, that's Christmas to me. Trevor, who deals with very similar feelings, I know what that feels like. I'm going to go out there. And eventually, puffy, teared eyes came right back into the house. And we got to witness such a tender little miracle of that gathering. I didn't plan that. You couldn't plan that. But it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect.
There was joy in that.
Pure joy.
There was joy in that. And that's what you mean. That's what we mean when we say it's not perfect.
And it's messy.
And it shouldn't be perfect. And Jesus and Christmas do better where we really need Jesus and Christmas.
Yes.
I love that we put up the lights. I love that we do the decorations. I love everything about Christmas. I really do. But sometimes, Deb, the expectations and that allow the accuser to just scream at me, it's not enough, it will never be enough, and everything along those lines really distracts me sometimes from what I really need to be focused on. What I really need to be focused on is what you just described, what we saw that night and what we have seen and still see many, many other nights. But it's really about receiving Jesus. Receiving Christ, just like we talked about last week, you know, the Father's gift to us is receiving Him. It doesn't require me to be ready necessarily. I mean, maybe ready with a broken heart and a contrite spirit or a breaking heart, maybe not completely broken yet, but broken enough, right,
yes,
to allow Him in. It doesn't require even a semblance of perfection.
Right.
You know, Christ's atonement covers sin. It covers it.
Right.
And I need to know that. But receiving joy. So we talk about what receiving Christ doesn't require readiness or perfection. But what about joy? You know, all we need to do to receive joy is give it permission.
Absolutely.
Just accept it.
Yep. You know, the moment I saw those missing kids from when we were trying to take pictures, I went to panic and I'm like, oh no, we're not going to get the picture. And then it ended up being so picture perfect because of the mess.
Yeah.
Because of the mess.
Yeah, and that picture is indelibly etched in the hearts of those present for sure.
All of us, absolutely. Yeah. It was so tender, much, so sweet.
Much more valuable.
So calm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It was so sweet.
So, and it also looks like just being present.
Yeah.
Receiving joy looks like giving it permission to receive it and then just being present. Just showing up. And being there so that Heavenly Father, through His Son and through the Holy Ghost, can bless us with that gift. The gift was given to us. Heavenly Father was excited to give me that gift that we talked about last week. And if you haven't listened again last week, please go back and listen to that, the gift of this of His Son. But that gift was given to us knowing full well of what my reality would be on any given Christmas, Deb. He knew. And He knew my reality would be in need of that gift.
I think it's important because you've used some words that I think are so relevant. The word is receiving, present, giving. And that's what I think we have maybe polluted the Christmas season.
Yeah.
Because what are we giving? What are we receiving? What are we present for? Or are we asking for His presence? I think it's really important for me to push pause and go, how am I defining this? How am I receiving? How am I giving? How am I being present? I love the verbiage because that is all Christmas verbiage. So receiving joy, receiving Christ. And the gift was, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So I think going back to your Christmas isn't fragile. Let it be strong. Let Christmas be strong.
Yeah.
You know, stop protecting, stop managing, stop putting our expectations on Christmas. But just notice that Christ is always there. No, when you put the glasses on to be able to see that, you'll see it in the mess. And that's where I see it probably the very most, is when things start getting messy or things get a little chaotic. That's when I really kind of have to step back, take a big deep breath in and go, okay, there's something I get to learn here, because there's no growing in the comfort zone, no comfort in the growing zone. What do I get to learn? What's the gift? If I'm truly present, what is the gift?
I will never see that gift, Dub, if I'm trying to manage outcomes.
For sure.
And that's where I sometimes get caught up. I want to set the table. I want to be the director of the play. I have this, for whatever reason, this desire to just control. And I don't know if I learned it or if I brought it with me. I don't know. But sometimes that's the thing that gets in my way.
I think we all have that.
It hasn't gotten the way this year.
Yeah.
Much, you know. I'm a little disappointed. I couldn't find my lights to put out on my house, but that's pretty
red and
pretty,
white lights are now
pretty,
this
but,
year.
Pretty benign. But the thing about it is it's I have to understand that I have to stay out of the outcome business. Instead, I really just need to know where Christ notice where He already is, because He's already in so much of our lives.
Yeah.
And that's where the gift is. If we're looking for gifts outside of the gifts that we've already been given and outside of the gifts and the most important gifts that we're going to receive or can receive, we're setting ourselves up for grave disappointment.
Well, and I think it's also such a wonderful time of the year that people feel so generous and want to help others that maybe don't feel as ready for Christmas. I mean, you always hear about the angel tree and hear about, you know, people that may not have a Christmas and children. And there are people so passionate about making sure that every single child has something to open on Christmas morning that it's like it's their goal. You know, we have my daughter-in-law, Sam, her mom is such a generous woman that just gives tons of bicycles to, you know, donates tons of toys and bikes and so that kids can have a Christmas. And people don't have to do that. And when you've ever been, which I have, been on that receiving end and also been on the giving end, you realize it's just God's work. This is how He intended it to be. Because when we breathe in, we receive. When we exhale, we give. And without one or the other, we don't live. So as this season comes, I mean, as we focus on Christmas, just think about, am I inhaling right now or am I exhaling right now? Because giving and receiving would not exist one without another. And I think it's so important to remember that even our own breath came from our Savior Jesus Christ and His atonement.
Well, as we kind of come to the Christmas season, I mean, we're right in the heart of it, just a few days away, and here we are. I just hope that we can remember a few things. Number one is that Jesus entered the chaos willingly. So let's not get freaked out and worried about the chaos. Let's not set our expectations so high that Christmas becomes fragile. Christmas shouldn't be fragile. Christmas is an opportunity for us to have durable joy, joy through the gift of our Heavenly Father's Son.
Also, just a reminder that Christmas cannot be broken.
Yeah.
We can't ruin it. We're not going to undo it. It's going to be there every single year for every opportunity. And the older I get, the more I realize that things just don't matter, that relationships are what matter. And what a gift to be able to see that today, because I have seen so many little miracles in our just among us. Our final invitation is to receive Him as He comes, and find Him in the mess, find Him in the joy, find Him in the chaos, find Him in the fear, find Him. He's there. He is very, very present this time of year.
And as you said, receive Him. Remember, you know, let's go back to Doctrine and Covenants 88:33. We must receive this gift. This gift just doesn't open itself and present itself to us.
Yeah.
It's there for us,
but
we must open it. And how do we open it? We open it by aligning with the will of our Heavenly Father. And how is it administered to us? Through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. So each week, again, as we kind of wrap things up here today, we really receive the gift as we partake of the sacrament each week and renew covenants and make yet another new covenant to always remember Him and keep His commandments, so that as we do, we can have the promise that we will always have His Spirit to be with us. And that's really the gift, Deb. That's really the gift of the Holy Ghost administering to us, the gift of the Son of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
We love you. We're so grateful for you. And we wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas.